A fearful man, all in coarse grey with a great iron on his leg. A man with no hat and with broken shoes and with an old rag tied round his head. A man who'd been soaked in water and smothered in mud and lamed by stones and cut by flints and stung by nettles and torn by briars. Who limped and shivered and glared and growled, and whose teeth chattered in his head as he seized me by the chin.
"Oh, don't cut my throat, sir,"
I pleaded in terror.
"Pray, don't do it, sir."
"Tell us your name," said the man. "Quick." Willie McCoy had been a jerk before he died. His being dead didn't change that. His short black hair was slicked back from a thin, triangular face.
It always reminded me of a player from a gangster movie. You know, the kind that sells information and runs errands and is expendable.
Of course, now that Willie was a vampire, the expendable part didn't count. But he was still selling information and running errands. Nope, death hadn't changed him much. Just in case, I avoided looking directly into his eyes. It was standard policy for dealing with vampires. He was a slime bucket, and now he was an undead slime bucket. On the surface, Alder Street looked like any other. Neat hedges, parked cars, lights switching off one by one as the night settled in. Nothing about it suggested violence, which is exactly why no one saw it coming. At 12:17 a.m, a call was placed to emergency services. The voice on the line was calm, too calm. By the time officers arrived, the house was silent. No signs of forced entry, no immediate struggle, just a single detail that didn't belong. The back door, left slightly open. In the days that followed, neighbours would say the same thing. They kept to themselves. But behind closed doors, a very different story had been unfolding. Because sometimes the most dangerous places are the ones that look the safest. Once upon a time, in a charming little Italian village, there lived a short, cheerful man named Marco. Marco was known throughout the village for his endless optimism and infectious laughter. He had a small, cosy apartment that he loved dearly, but he shared it with three rather unusual roommates. Sister Testa, Sister Rock, and Sister Hillsman. They were three nuns who'd retired from the convent to explore the world outside its walls. But they brought with them a peculiar habit that made life, interesting. They were always farting. Each sister had her unique personality and, naturally, her own distinct sound and smell. Sister Testa, the eldest, had a laugh that could light up a room and a toot that could clear it. Hers were always high-pitched and squeaky, often followed by a giggle and a, "Ooh, pardon me." She loved to experiment in the kitchen with new recipes, which often resulted in some unexpected gastric consequences. The alley was quiet. Too quiet. The rain hammered the pavement, masking the sounds of pursuit. "Did you hear that? They're close. Move. Keep your head down. We can't afford a mistake." Jack's fingers tightened around the handle of his weapon. Every shadow felt like a threat, every heartbeat louder than the last.
"They're everywhere. I can't see a damn thing."
"Then listen. Trust your gut. We get out of this, or we don't get out at all." A scream echoed from the end of the alley. Footsteps slammed closer, and at that moment, adrenaline became instinct. And they ran.